Hello and welcome to Dealcast, the weekly M&A podcast from Merger Market. I'm Juliana Needham. I'm a business journalist and I've been writing about and talking about M&A for a decade. Now, it's undoubtedly one of the hottest sectors, and perhaps unsurprisingly, 2024 is shaping up to be one of the busiest years ever for dealmaking in generative AI. To find out more, we're heading to North America. I'm joined by Troy Hooper, who's a senior editor based in Los Angeles, and by Michelle Cheng, who is an M&A reporter based in New York. Hi, Michelle. Hi, Troy. Thanks for joining me.
Hi. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, hi.
So generative AI has been one of the hottest sectors in the last year. Could you begin by outlining the different parts or the different subsectors of AI, please?
Yeah, there are various layers within the AI data stack. The foundation of AI is really the hardware layer, and that's dominated by NVIDIA, the chip maker. And then there's other semiconductor companies as well, like Qualcomm, Advanced Micro Devices, and Cerebras Systems. And then, you know, they provide the chips that power the AI data stack. And then on top of that, you have the cloud platform layer. And that includes the likes of Amazon, Microsoft's Azure, Alphabet's Google Cloud. And on top of those foundations, you build these models such as OpenAI, Anthropic, Cohere, and Meta Platforms Llama 3.
And Michelle, coming to you, can you talk us through deal making in AI so far in 2024, please?
Yeah, so it would be good to maybe just take a step back and get some timeline data on this. So, you know, OpenAI, they launch its generative AI tool ChatGPT in November 2022. And, you know, since then, we've been seeing a number of companies really spring up related to the generative AI stack. And now I think this year, you know, we've seen some smaller AI deals, you know, whether that's like the big tech giants buying up AI companies or, you know, also been seeing a lot of fundraising rounds too, both on the application layer or also on the chip layer as well. Like, for instance, there's this AI chip startup called Etched, and they recently raised like over $120 million in a Series A. And so I would also just add that in the generative AI space right now, we're just seeing a lot of fundraising. That said, you know, bankers are saying in the second half of the year, you know, we can expect to see a lot more M&A deals when some of these really highly funded AI startups, you know, start to run out of cash. You know, the other thing is when it comes to these smaller AI deals, we're also seeing a lot of acqui-hires as well.
Great. And we're going to come on to that in a bit more detail in a moment. But staying with you, Michelle, could you talk through data deals and why they're potentially a big opportunity, please?
Yeah. So, you know, what's going to make an AI company stand out from another AI company is really the data, the proprietary data it has. That is the fundamental differentiator. You know, if you think about it, like language models can always be replaced, but data can't. And like companies are, you know, pretty hesitant about sharing, you know, pretty personal data because it brings about like privacy and security issues. So yeah, and at the same time, when you think of companies like OpenAI or Anthropic, they're building really big generalized AI chatbots. And most companies will not be building those type of generalized AI chatbots because they're so costly. And so the pivot right now, or like I guess where we're seeing the new development, is AI companies really trying to target niche areas. Like, for instance, AI startups are targeting the legal space and getting like partnerships with legal companies and using that data to automate reading documents in the legal research space, for instance. That's one example.
Thank you. And Troy, coming back to you, can we talk a bit about the war on talent and the huge salaries that some people who work in this space are getting paid? Can you explain how that fits into the picture and how deals are being structured to acquire talent from different companies, the kind of so-called acqui-hire model that Michelle mentioned earlier?
Yeah, so OpenAI, which is one of the pivotal players in AI, they have been offering pay packages of up to $10 million to poach some of the talent from Google. Then you have Microsoft, which made a very large investment in a company called Inflection. And with that came a lot of Inflection's best talent. And then there's other companies that are, aren't as big as Microsoft or Google that have been making plays in the space. Databricks bought a company called Mosaic ML, and that was a $1.3 billion acquisition, and it brought some of the top engineers in AI with it. And then other executives that we've spoken to, such as companies like AlphaSense, which uses AI to scrape public filings, to basically compile data that financial institutions use. They've been on the lookout for acqui-hires, as have some of the other smaller players in the space.
And staying with you, Troy, can you talk through who the strategic buyers are in the space? We've mentioned Microsoft several times already, and that's known to be very acquisitive, but increasingly in the focus of the antitrust watchdogs around the world. Who are the big buyers? Is it mainly the big tech companies?
Okay. Unsurprisingly, the main buyers are going to be the big tech companies, Microsoft, Amazon, Meta, Alphabet, and even Apple. In fact, if you look back over the past decade, Apple's been very active in making AI acquisitions. They've just been kind of smaller deals that haven't gotten quite the same attention as some of the deals that Microsoft has done. The biggest deal in the space has been Microsoft's acquisition of Nuance Communications. That was for $19 billion, and that was just a couple years ago. But we're seeing more and more partnerships, and as I mentioned, the acqui-hires, and we expect really, all the big tech players, including Amazon and Meta, to be active in M&A going forward.
And Michelle, coming back to you, can you just talk a bit about the venture capital groups that are investing in the space?
Yeah, so what I'm seeing is a lot of these AI startups are still pretty early stages, raising A's and B's, but they're really huge amounts, right? They could be 50, 80, over 100 million just because AI models are really costly to run and the chips too are super costly to run. And some of the biggest investors are, like Andreessen Horowitz or Khosla Ventures. It's interesting that the capital environment still remains very strong. The latest quarter is still higher than the previous quarter, according to Crunchbase data. That said, investors are becoming more cautious. For instance, this company called Jasper, which is a provider of an AI co-pilot, reportedly had cut its internal value of its common shares 20%. So we might be seeing more companies along that that line, especially those maybe providing AI co-pilot. And I think it says a lot about this space where it's just moving very fast. And its technology just continues to develop. This one investor I talked to at Tola Capital, which focuses on enterprise software, was just saying that he expects a lot of startups to run out of capital in the second half of the year, and that we can start to see more smaller tuck-ins, and which this will be a buying opportunity then for some traditional industries like financial services or pharmaceuticals who can't, really afford what the big tech giants can afford. These companies might be buying the smaller AI companies that haven't found a market fit, and also will benefit from their AI talent.
If I might add, one venture-backed company to keep an eye on would be Perplexity. Perplexity has only been around for less than 2 years, but they've already raised $165 million at over a billion-dollar valuation. And I spoke to the co-founder not too long ago, and they plan on raising a lot more money this year at a even higher valuation. So it'll be interesting to see if they're able to successfully do that and kind of buck the expectation that some of these AI companies will face down rounds.
Great, thank you. And just bringing all of that together, you've touched on some of this already, but the sector, it is incredibly hot. It's also very much in the crosshairs of antitrust watchdogs around the world, particularly companies like Microsoft and the big tech companies buying up AI groups. How do you expect deal making to play out against the backdrop of what we've been talking about during the rest of 2024 and beyond?
Yeah, it's an interesting question. Like, I know in Europe, last year you guys had passed the AI law, and it's in over here in the U.S. I know we're a little bit behind, but I know that the government is also focusing on creating some sort of regulation around AI. And as we know from the private sector side, there's been pushback as well, where they like to argue that this will slow down, the development of their technology or whatnot. But all over the world, we are hearing about like AI laws starting to be created. And also not just on the generative AI side, but also on the chip side. There has been restrictions, trade restrictions on the type of materials that go into making chips. NVIDIA, an example of that, of a business that has been affected by it when it comes to, selling to China. And then also in general, I think big tech giants are facing heat, even here in the US, when it comes to trying to buy AI related companies. Recently we've heard of Microsoft getting a licensing deal with Inflection AI, and FTC is looking into that. So if anything, this is, making businesses more cautious about, the type of companies to go for when it comes to buying a company.
Great. So watch this space. Michelle and Troy, thanks very much. That was Michelle Cheng, an M&A reporter in New York, and Troy Hooper, who is a senior editor based in Los Angeles. Thanks for listening to this week's episode of Dealcast from Mergermarket. I'm Juliana Needham. If you've enjoyed the podcast, please follow it. And if you're listening through Apple, please rate and review the show. If you'd like to find out more about what we've been talking about on this episode, have a look at our show notes. Join us again next week.